With us right now is Mike Pereira, the former NFL head of officiating. You know his great work now as an analyst of officiating for Fox Sports. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you with us. Well, Mike, just had the breakdown from the league regarding some of the new playing rule proposals that were adopted. I think there might even be some more interest in what wasn't brought aboard. And the thing that really struck me, because so much is talked about on replay, the rejection of the proposal to have all replay reviews in the booth. What are your thoughts on that?
They're not ready for that. I mean, you know, you have to look at that and say, what are the ramifications of that? And I think you first, there's a couple, I guess, of key things to look at. To me, there are 17 replay assistants, and are you comfortable putting the responsibility in all of their hands? And I don't think they are. I mean, I think that, you know, maybe there's some guys that are capable of making all the decisions, but there are others that are not. And I think to have a check and balances system, which is really what it is, because the referee gets to look at the video too, and the two of them get to talk. You know, it's not just a determining whether or not it's a fumble or not. It's actually whether it's reviewable. And
right.
Is it within the context of the rule? And then what do you have to do with the clock and all those things? And I think if you're going to make a decision like this that says that you're going to take it off of the field, then I think you almost have to say, okay, well, beginning in the year 2015 and give the league a few years to get ready for this and to train people properly and to maybe look at the type of person that's going to become a replay official and compensate them just like a regular official on the field and do more than what they're doing now. And then the other part is I understand, but I can't get through, you know, I can't get it through my head that you're going to take the guys that are on the field out of the process totally. And,
right.
And I try to put myself, you know, in their spot. If I'm an official that makes a call on the field and then the game gets stopped and then it gets reversed by a guy upstairs, my ruling gets reversed, and he ends up being wrong, I'm still going to suffer the consequences because I'm going to be looked at even though he made the decision totally independent of any input from me.
Sure.
So I think what you would do is you'd kind of slip back toward the old system, which ran from 86 to 91 before it imploded, where the guy had all the decision-making process upstairs, and you ended up with a group of officials on the field that did not buy into replay.
Right.
And didn't like replay. Well, here it is now, the way the system is now, where they're still involved in the decision-making process and they have bought into it, take it out of their hands. And the other thing, if you can take it out of their hands, then put it in New York. Then do what the National Hockey League does.
Yeah, have it way off-site.
Do it off-site. There. Take your three best replay guys and put them in the office with, you know, and then let them make all the decisions if you're going to do that. But they won't do that, and I just still think it needs to be in the hands.
You don't see a day when that's ever going to happen.
Well, I mean, I mean, you never can predict what happens, but I don't see a day when that will happen. But, you know, never could with National Hockey League being fairly successful doing it, you have to consider that there'll probably be some talk about it.
Another rule that was rejected, the horse collar in the pocket, if you can explain what the basis
was.
Well,
you know, the horse collar was such an interesting topic that we looked at, you know, because of the Roy Williams, you know, open field, open space tackle, where he actually had an opportunity to tackle a player another way, but he chose to grab inside the collar and pull them to the ground that resulted in these horrific injuries, knee injuries specifically. And so we passed it on the basis of those open field tackles. So we eliminated the quarterback in the pocket and the runner in close line play because we knew that if the quarterback was in the pocket, the guy trying to tackle him was going to be being blocked by another player. And so he's reaching. He's just trying to get anything he can get, and he has no other opportunity to tackle him in any other way. So I don't think you can take a defenseless player or defensive player that really has no other opportunity to grab a quarterback and pull him in the ground. I don't think you can prohibit it from doing that. And I didn't think that had a chance, quite frankly, even though it was a player safety rule.
Right.
And those usually automatically pass. I didn't see this one passing.
Mike Pereira, he is a former head of officiating for the league, a former league official, and now you hear his great analysis on Fox Sports' coverage of the National Football League. Mike, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford from the league meetings, Palm Beach, Florida, had to cover all that. Mike, as far as what was adopted, and replay is part of this, a replay official can initiate reviews of certain turnovers. You know, we always, again, talk about speed of the game or things that won't hold up the game. Address, if you will, what this might do.
I think you try to find a balance of not delaying the game to any length of time, but also the balance of trying to protect the coaches of having to make decisions on whether or not to challenge things and maybe run into that situation where they're out of challenges outside of 2 minutes and can't challenge something that could be easily correctable. And I think this is as much about last year as it is this year, because they put in the rule last year that said that all scoring plays would be looked at by the replay official upstairs. And right. if he could confirm it, then he would send a message down to the referee and on you would play. Now, there was a lot of concern. And if he couldn't confirm it, then he would send it down to be reviewed. Well, there was a lot of concern, including myself, that there would be a lot more stoppages. And in reality, there wasn't. I mean, and it worked pretty smoothly. And so when all of a sudden then the idea came from someone that says, okay, let's give the coaches another opportunity of taking big plays and not forcing them to make the decision to challenge. Let's take turnovers, which I've always said the two biggest things in replay are scoring plays and turnovers. Mm-hmm. If we can do it and do it, you know, economically in terms of time, do the same thing, then let's do it. So while I was against last year's rule, because I thought I didn't like it, the fact that it was a one-way rule, that you could only review it if, in fact, the score was ruled. If it wasn't ruled, then it had to be challenged. I was against that aspect of it.
Okay.
But since it worked, and now I see the magnitude of a change of possession play, I think it's a good change. And I think that the replay guys got pretty good at confirming things and not holding up the game for any length of time, and I think they'll do the same thing with turnovers.
Overtime, which the rules that had been in place for the postseason, which started last year, have now been adopted for the regular season. This is just a matter of uniformity and not treating as important as the postseason is, the games that get you into the postseason also carry some weight too.
You know, this is phase two. You know, when you want to change something but you run into general resistance from clubs, you say, okay, let's put it in for the playoffs only,
right,
knowing that it's just a precursor for happening in the regular season. And so, you know, that this was an automatic, even though – you know, you look at the two overtime games in this past postseason, and you really couldn't tell much from it because one was a touchdown, a one-play touchdown, basically, and then the other was a lengthy one in the San Francisco Giant game. But I think that just having it around made everybody comfortable enough that they thought it was at least, you know, and I mean, whether or not you think it's good or bad,
sure,
the fact is that it's consistent from the regular season to the postseason, and that to me makes plenty of sense.
Any of the other sort of, you know, that we have here with the loss of down penalty for illegally kicking a loose ball, making too many men in formation on a dead ball foul now, anything here, the recipient of a crackback block is now a defenseless player, these being adopted, anything of significance here, Mike?
You know, Vic, no. I mean, I think that what's interesting, and I've always said this, if we looked beneath the rule changes, there's more significant things that happen,
right.
And that's in what you call points of emphasis or back of the book changes. And you know, when you look at the points of emphasis, I would say to you that has a greater effect than any one of these rule changes.
Right.
When you look back to whatever year it was in the early 2000s or whatever, when the competition committee on it said it will make illegal contact and defensive holding a point of emphasis.
Right.
The number the next year wasn't a rule change, but the next year the number of fouls called tripled. The passing yardage went way up, and so to me those are the big issues. And this year you have some big issues on the points of emphasis because you know you do have the formations and the tackles being up on the line of scrimmage. They're going to force tackles to get up. It's going to result in more penalties. They have the notion now that the quarterbacks have been, you know, they've granted too much. They've liberalized what he can do in shotgun in terms of thrusting his hand forward and taking a giant step and timing it with the center lifting his head, but they don't snap the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and yet we have let that go for years, and now point of emphasis, that's a false start, whether it draws a defensive player off or not. So, you know, to me, those two right there probably will have a bigger effect on how the game looks when you're watching as a fan,
right,
than any of these rule changes.
Well, just a general thought here, because your role, and it's so great to watch Fox's coverage because they can bring you in and have you immediately analyze when there's a challenge coming up or something, a controversial call. What was your biggest takeaway from this past season, more or less on the controversial side? And with that said, too, how do you see the state of the game kind of going forward with regard to officiating, with regard to rules that are in place? Do you see it becoming, you know, more complicated, tougher officiating, less is the officiating not as good? You know, what's your general take?
Well, I mean, I think it's different. I mean, and people go back and say, you know, what the commissioner's doing now in terms of player safety, that the game is too soft or whatever they want to say, you know, and that, but the fact is that the game has changed and it's not going back. And the game has always evolved. I mean, it's just like the, you know, everybody screams about the 18-game schedule. Well, I understand that, but, you know, it went from 10 to 12, from 12 to 14, and from 14 to 16, and it will go from 16 to 18 at some point. The game changes, and it has changed dramatically in terms of player safety, which has made it harder on the officials because they're a part of this. I mean, right. Just like coaches are a part of this and players are a part of this, they're a part of it too because they're having to call things or they're being told to call things that they never used to call before,
right.
and they're huge penalties, so it's become tougher. But then, you know, to me, officiating never gets easier. It always gets tougher because players get bigger and faster and more skillful, and that's certainly not a bad thing. But I think officiating, you know, has to be accept that challenge, just like with instant replay when people said, you know, are the officials going to fear instant replay because it's going to expose more mistakes? Well, and my response was, if you're an official and you fear instant replay, then go find another job. You don't need to be officiating because you should accept the challenge of replay and you should try to get yourself better so that, you know, because you actually got a vehicle that can prove that you're right most of the time. So it's a tough job. Technology has exposed more, you know, about officiating than ever before, but you know, they accept that, and I think they do a really good job. The unfortunate thing and the difficult part is their expected level of performance is 100%. I mean, they're expected to get all 155 plays in a game officiated correctly, you know, and if they officiate 154 right but they miss one, they're chastised for the one. Sure. They don't look at it and say, well, you know, they officiated 98.7 of the plays percentage of the plays correctly. That's pretty good, but that's just not the nature.
Pretty good doesn't count. Mike, thank you so much for your time. I greatly appreciate it.
You got it.
He is Mike Pereira, the former head of officiating for the league, and again, check out his great analysis, as I'm sure you do, during Fox Sports broadcast of the National Football League. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, we continue to broadcast from the league meetings in Palm Beach, Florida. Much more coming up on 850 WKNR.